Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, he is one of God's great men. He is one of the most loved, beloved figures in baseball lore. He is Ron Coomer, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Coom.
Good morning, boys. Mikey, David, how are you boys doing this morning?
Good. We live the dream, and it's so
I
much.
I know that. You just talked to the Hawkaroo.
Yes.
How do you not live the dream?
Is that hilarious? We got a chance to wish him a happy Easter in Greek. It doesn't happen often.
Yeah, right. No, it's great to hear you guys talking to Hawk. It's great that he's doing well. I'm sure he misses our game, but, you know, he's going to have a great deal coming up here, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. So it's great for the Hawk, and great to hear you guys talk about it. Mully, the reverence of you talking to the Hawkaroo is very entertaining, I will say that.
I got to tell you, I've watched games with him for years. You know, you must get this all the time because people, you know, you're the voice of their summer. And you know, you're making a joke or you're talking about something. You got so many people listening to you, and it moves them, and they feel like they know you. That's the weirdest thing, I think, when you feel like you're, you know, hey, we were watching the game together. Oh, you know, he was telling me what was going on. You feel like a personal relationship.
Yeah, where'd I put my phone, Coom?
Exactly, yeah.
But it's true. It is true. And you guys experience the same thing, too, doing what you do. We all do. That's part of the fun of when you go out in public or you're at the ballpark for me and I'm walking through the stands. Hey, Ron, how are you? We heard, you know, the other day you were talking out, you know, it's great. That's, you know, I did it as a kid. I did it as a young adult, you know, listening to the Jack Brickhouses and Harry Carey's and, you know, and Pat and, that, you know, and now you're one of them. It's good. All of it, I love all of it. It's all great to me.
Yeah, So, Coom, you've had a really good, strong week. I've enjoyed listening to you through the ups and downs of the Cubs offense, and I especially liked listening to you get a little fired up when Wilson Contreras got hit the other night, but that may be a different story. Offensively, what happened yesterday? 3 home runs, 11 hits. Does that snap the Cubs out of this funk? Because what happened before leading up to yesterday could be described as nothing else but a funk.
I don't know. I don't think we have that answer yet, David. You know, to me, it could. It very well could, right? And I believe what David Ross said post-game yesterday, that when our three guys hit, we are a really good team. Yes, you are. And you really put a lot of pressure on the opposing ball club. when you get those three guys swinging the bat and driving in runs, whether it goes out of the park or not. If they're just getting hits, you're a really good team. So it could. The alarming thing going into yesterday's ball game to me, there's a few of them, but the stat that really stands out to me, and then there's one that's very misleading. The misleading one is how many pitches the Cubs see per at bat, and they were the league leader, right? So I think it was 4.2 or 4.4 or something like that.
Right.
Those are all, that's great. And you want to have the grinding at bat is what everybody taught, grinding out your at bats. I'm all for it. Played on teams that did it really well. But that team that I played on that did that really well in New York also had a bunch of guys that were banging the baseball around the yard when they got to the point where you put yourself in a good position in the batter's box, and I mean by counts, right? So you work to get to 2-0. You work to get to 2-1. You work to get to 3-0 or 3-1. Well, now everything is tilted in your favor as a hitter. So use it and go to banging, right? If they're going to throw you a fastball in the middle of the plate, tear someone's lips off on the infield or hit one in the seats or do some damage and make them fear that you're going to swing the bat, right? That's the thing that you try to get to as a hitter. And what I feel like is the Cubs, they're cloudy on what the goal is trying to be, and that is to get yourself in a position to be able to swing the bat and be aggressive, not just try to get to first base. And we took a whole boatload of pitches over these last, you know, couple years when you're really ahead in the count. The 2-0 takes, the 3-1 takes, the 3-0 takes. I think that's got to get crumbled up and thrown in the garbage, and I think there's got to be a shot of aggressiveness into the offense up and down the lineup. So when you work yourself into a great count and you got runners in scoring position and you can do damage, take your shot, get the bat in motion, and do the damage.
Yeah, you know, it was fascinating to hear the way that Rossi talked about, in particular, Javi Baez and, you know, not trying to get in his way as a free-swinging guy. And then you see him hit that golf shot. And it's almost like, you know, again, as David's saying, is it crazy to swing at that pitch? Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I mean, the result's fantastic. You love that. And I thought it was cool that all three home runs were so different yesterday. You know what I mean? There was the line shot, the deep center one, and then that golf shot. It's just there are many ways to do it. And when those three guys, as you say, when they each hit one in a game, the Cubs are 5-0. I would have thought it would have happened more often, frankly.
I would agree in all of what you said, Mikey. And my thing is with Javi, I look at him and you want him to be a free swinger, right? You want him to let his talents just ooze out of him because, you know, there's a few players in our league that just have those kind of abilities. But there's also, the league can also catch up with a guy and understand exactly what he's doing and then pitch to his weakness. And that's what the league is doing right now. They're not throwing Javi anything in the zone, like fastballs. They're not feeding him fastballs in the zone because eventually he's going to hit them. Well, they've done that for long enough now to where now Javi is in between to me. He doesn't know if he wants to hit the breaking ball or if he's really going to be the fastball hitter. And so he swung and missed at a boatload of fastballs in the zone, which he hasn't seen a lot because they're spinning and then spinning the ball. And occasionally now they're throwing the fastball in the zone and he's behind it. So Javi to me is in the middle. Him hitting that changeup was good. For me, Javi's got to just get back to using the other side of the diamond. Then all of a sudden you get some timing and you see the ball just a little bit longer. And when you do that, then all of a sudden you start recognizing pitches better and recognizing strikes better. And that to me is Javi's thing. He's not recognizing strikes. He's recognizing spin and then he's swinging. You got to recognize the strike and then be able to put your swing on.
Coom, really interesting to see Jake Arrieta overcome things yesterday in a day he didn't have his best stuff. He is 2-0. And I just wonder, back in 2015 and 16, hitters were maybe intimidated facing Jake Arrieta. They got into the box and they knew what was coming. And they knew they couldn't hit it. How is the at-bat different now against Arrieta in terms of a challenge, knowing that he's not going to be that same guy that may overpower you or intimidate you, but he's going to approach you and attack you in a different way that you may not be able to outguess him either, and how different that challenge is and how well he's doing at approaching hitters?
Well, yesterday, David, to answer your first question, yesterday he got into a little funk, and I'm guessing it's exactly what he fell into the mechanically in Philadelphia at times, right, where he's getting rotational and he's coming off his pitches, and then he loses his release point, right, where he's releasing the ball. So he was casting out the slider, then he would try to hold on to it too long and he'd pull it. Well, his movement wasn't going back towards home plate, so that was his issue for me. And then all of a sudden he threw one fastball, boom, right at the top of the zone, right down the middle, and he got it right back. And then the next inning it carried back on, and he was able to get the breaking ball over again and move his fastball around the zone. So it was a great adjustment by Jake and a great meeting on the mound by Tommy Hotovy and by Wilson Contreras. I thought that was really good yesterday to get out and recognize it right away and stop it instantly. The difference for Jake for me is its velocity. You know, when Jake was throwing 95, 96 with the same movement he's got now, I mean, it looks like he's throwing a wiffle ball up there, and you can hardly see it when you're throwing that hard because it's moving all over. Now he's throwing 91 to 93 with that movement, and now he's got to be a little better with command and mix up more pitches, and we're seeing him do that. His two-seam fastball runs like crazy, and then when he threw two breaking balls yesterday that were different than I've seen him throughout the spring. He went back yesterday to that little cutter that he used to throw when he played for the Cubs during the World Series time. And then he had that big sweeping kind of, you know, slurvy breaking ball. But I liked that little short cutter he threw at times yesterday. Jake's movement now is what's getting hitters out. A little back and forth in speed, but great movement.
Ron, were you hit by a lot of pitches in your career?
Not a lot, but I was hitting the melon a few times, and I know what that's like.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah, of course. Wow. Believe me, work with me every day like my partner does. He knows.
What's your take, though? I mean, you know, I look at it's pretty interesting when you see, I guess, that Milwaukee has hit Wilson.
Yeah,
I believe 11 times. And then I saw Cincinnati has hit Anthony Rizzo, I believe it's 14 times. And you think about those guys, and they do crowd the plate, and they are trying to, you know, get their advantage. And teams, the book is to pitch a guy a certain way. And I don't, you know, is it? Do you believe it's intentional? I understand how upset people get, but it doesn't make sense sometimes. It just seems like you're trying to pitch a guy a certain way, and that's why you're hitting him.
Well, here's part of the issue. So Wilson in the last 11 games was hit six times by Milwaukee, right? I know Wilson gets under the opposing team's skin. I realize that. We've seen guys like that throughout the league that have played. You know, AJ was one that, you know, when he was on, you know, when he was with Minnesota, he got under guy's skin when he was with the White Sox. But he turned himself into a great player, and he used that, right, to his advantage. I know Wilson gets under the opposing team's skin, but here's the problem. When it's always the same guy, now it's not like they're just hitting guys, you know, and it just happens. It's the same three or four guys all the time, right in the heart of your lineup. And to me, that's a strategy. It's a strategy to just drill, to not worry about drilling a guy and knowing that that's going to get him off breaking balls and things like that, right? So when you got hit in the head the night before in the helmet, and then a guy who's painting on both sides of the plate in Boxberger, his first pitch comes in and he hits you in the elbow, like, I mean, yeah, you know, the rage is instant, right? And that's what happens. Right. And I've been hit, and the rage goes instantly, and you want to fight. And you get hit with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, it hurts.
Right.
And you're ready to do some damage on someone else. And I think that's what happened. Now, for me, I really liked the old way of baseball, where you hit our guy, we hit your guy. And I know nobody likes to hear that, but boy, if you're taking shots at my star players and not caring if you hit them, guess what? Your guy's going to feel the same thing. You're the manager on the south side. He was the best at it. You hit Canseco, your star's going down. You hit my catcher, your catcher's going down. You're not hitting him in the head, but he's going to wear one of the numbers in the back. And then you play on, right? And you kind of police it that way. I'm all for that, because then this 6 times in 11 games stuff doesn't happen. It just doesn't. It gets eliminated, because Christian Yelich going to the bench going, dude, I'm not getting hit 3 or 4 more times this series. Let's play the game, right? And that's what stops it. And I don't think we have that in our game right now.
So, Ron, you were hit 9 times in 3,019 Major League at-bats, so I imagine you didn't have many Michael Conforto moments where you leaned into a fastball in the strike zone.
Oh, I wanted to hit, brother. I didn't want to get hit.
Yeah. Yeah, you could actually hit.
My at-bats were quick. I was coming out of the on-deck circle swinging. Me being on first base wasn't doing much good for our team. Let me just tell you. I had a bad right knee, and I was a double play waiting to happen, so I was swinging. I was looking to drive in runs.
Ron, we'll let you go. Just curious, what do you think of your mean Mercedes? I'm sure you've seen his hit streak, and he hit a monster homer yesterday for the Sox. It's one of these only in baseball stories where a guy at his age can be a rookie knocking the heck out of the ball.
I believe he's like 27 or 28, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I just love it. Here's the thing, and I talked to Pat about this the other day. We've seen this. There's a couple people in the league, nothing like Mercedes, but this Evans kid that's playing for Pittsburgh, the third baseman goes down, he's in now, he's hitting 450. Mercedes, to me, I love in our game when a young or an inexperienced, let's say a rookie player, gets to the league, whether he's young or old, and they take advantage of an opportunity and they're ready to play, right? So many people in our game have made excuses about, oh, well, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. When you get your chance, be ready for it. And that kid is ready. That ball he hit last night, that was great. I pull for people like that. And watching him get hit after hit after hit when he first got in the league, and Tony running him back out there like, you tell him he's not playing after going 5 rounds. I'm not an idiot. Keep going. Let's play. I love the story. I love it. I hope he keeps going. I really pull for guys like that, because I know how hard it is to get your shot, and he's waited, and now he got it, and guess what? He's making the most of it. It's a great, great story.
Great stuff, Coom.
Thanks, Coom.
Boys, you have a great weekend.
Enjoy your Friday.
Right, buddy. Yeah, yep. Enjoy your day off, and then right back to work and fun at the old ballpark. A lot of fun. Good stuff going on. I love his reaction to the Yermin Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a victory for the Husky guy. So you know Coom's going to love that, right?
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I never believed that I get out that started right now. But for real, I'm excited because I'm continuing doing good. I hope everything's going to work. Just keep working for that. But I'm going to feel great right now.
2-1 to Mercedes. And your main tattoos this ball. Oh, where is it going to land? Bring him home. Welcome to Chicago, 73.
His second home run of the year. An introduction to the home folks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is your mean Mercedes. That was him on yesterday with Danny. Was it 2 days ago?
Yesterday. It was before the game.
Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. With Danny and, they were delayed starting.
Right.
Danny and Matt. Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel, great interview with him. Really enjoyed hearing him talk, and that was him hitting. I really enjoy watching him hit. The 485-foot homer, third longest homer ever hit at the at the Guaranteed Rate Field. I nearly called it the Cell. I got to stop myself.
Yep.
Pretty extraordinary.
Great night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was hitting home runs. He was posing for pictures. He was smiling the whole time.
Got another
hit. Yeah. You love the joy he plays with. There's nothing really not to like about Yermín Mercedes, except for I'm not a big fan of his number. That's all.
73?
I just wish he had a different number. But I hope it becomes popular in Chicago. I hope Sox fans buy it if it's available. If it is, is it even available yet?
It must be available.
It's got to be.
It's got to be the best-selling jersey in baseball. But did we not learn today that Wilbur Wood came to the White Sox in 1973? Isn't that a happy memory?
It's a good year, but not a good number for baseball.
Just kidding.
Oh, 73.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767 is the number. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. And there we find John. John is on the road. Good morning, John.
Morning, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I had a couple interesting thoughts on Yermín Mercedes. Wanted to get your feedback. I mean, I think his start has been incredible, but I had an interesting comp I thought of. Remember Brian LeHair? When he was about the same age, he came up, hit a ton of home runs the first half, and he made the All-Star game. So I think it's fair to temper expectations with Mercedes. At the same time, he's 27, 28. Pitchers are going to adjust to him, and at some point I think he's going to struggle a bit. There's a reason why he's kind of been in the minors for so long. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's probably a good thing to mention, but it's not time to mention it. I don't know that you want to necessarily worry about his expiration date before you've really enjoyed all that he has to offer or bring. And I get it. I mean, I don't think anybody's getting too carried away here and thinking, okay, Yermín Mercedes is your designated hitter for the next 3 to 5 years, and this is part of the Sox rebuilding plan. No, I think you're going to enjoy it as long as it lasts. That's what you do with surprises, and this is a pleasant one. So the Brian LeHair, Brian LeHair definitely is a guy that was a late bloomer. I think he debuted when he was 26 years old for the Mariners, and then he had some success, limited success with the Cubs. Hey, if Yermín Mercedes makes an All-Star team as a member of the White Sox, nobody's going to complain or worry about how long it lasts.
312-644-6767. You have upset the texters. I hope you're happy.
Did I?
We have a texter saying, Haw, 73 was my number in football. It's a great number.
It's a great number for football. If you're a right tackle, I want to be 73. Absolutely. If I'm a lineman, give me 73. If I'm a baseball player going out there to the plate and on my back I have my name and my number, I don't want my number to be an offensive lineman's. I want to look more hitterish.
Another texter says Carlton Fisk was number 72.
Didn't like that either. I liked it when he was 27 more than 72. All it's right. A baseball number, guys. Yeah, okay. Come on. Right. I'm not a big fan of Jose Abreu's number. I don't like that necessarily. We grew up in an era where you didn't have baseball numbers in the 60s or 70s unless you were spring training additions. So I guess I have to deprogram my baseball brain.
Okay, Abreu, as you mentioned, 79. Eloy is 74.
I know.
And now you got a 73. I can't believe you're not on board with that power lineup that those guys blocking and protecting your pitcher.
No, these are guys who are hitting home runs, not blocking for a quarterback. I don't want an offensive line. I want baseball players.
And let me assure you, in case there is any debate, that all three of those numbers are available. Just get out to the Guaranteed Rate Field. I nearly said the Cell again.
You did.
Just get out to the ballpark, and you can go buy a jersey of your favorite Sox player. They're there. They're available.
Forget that, Molly. Get your phone out if you want the jersey bad enough. Start to order it
there
online.
You go.
WhiteSox.com.
That's fine. That's exactly
right.
Thank
you, Brooks Boyer, for checking in.
Yes, Brooks knows. I mean, I'm sure he's I don't know if he's listening, but I'm sure he's angry if you're telling people that you can't get the guy's number. Who wouldn't want right now a Mercedes jersey? I might actually get that. You know, I've got friends that just send me the logo. I've sent you the logo when he's done something special.
Yeah, I know. I like that. It's
I have copy and pasted that logo around, and it is it speaks about something that is magnificent, glorious driving machine.
Hawk compared Tony La Russa to a Rolls Royce, and now you're going all on about Mercedes. I mean, this has become the car show.
It's the man's name. It is definitely the man's name. So, I
wait
I'm
a second.
All for it.
Texters, 815, hey, Haw, stop crapping in our Sox coffee cup. How is that crapping in your coffee cup?
Oh, you with the numbers and football, and it's not allowed. You know, hey, let me tell you something. When they retire 73, are you going to feel the same way?
I probably will have come around by then.
79 will be retired.
I think I just had him. But I had him. How can they retire a number? He's only going to make one All-Star game if he's like Brian LaHare.
Oh, God.
I don't like that comp.
Well, it's obviously not one that was made by a Sox fan. Because being brutally honest about it, and I always like my honesty to be brutal, I don't think there is a comp. I really haven't seen anything like this. I haven't heard a good comp. It's just an extraordinary story. And the other thing about it is he's like a seriously good dude. He has this kind of joy of the game thing going on that is infectious.
Okay.
You see a guy like that helps the team.
I'm going to go way back in the Wayback Machine for a Chicago comp. I don't know if this is a good one. I'm sure I'll hear about it if it's a bad one. But you have to go back, and it's a former Cub.
Of course.
Hector Villanueva.
Okay.
He was a guy that had the same sort of frame. He was very hitterish. He had 13 homers in 1991. That's going way back. And he wasn't number 73. He was number, what number was he? 32. Now that's hitter's number.
Yeah, okay. So Louis Robert at 88. You have a problem with him. Dylan Cease is 84.
They should be
wide receivers.
Listen, I cannot explain my baseball sensibilities, but they are offended when I see guys with numbers in the 80s or 70s or even 60s are a bit much for me. I just don't like my baseball numbers to go that high. Sorry.
You mentioned Brooks Boyer, and we have a texter checking in. He says, the new ad campaign, great hits from the 70s.
Hey!
That's pretty good. That's 815 Lance. That's a great idea.
We love the 70s. And
great
you have
hits
these
from
guys.
The 70s. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great hits from the 70s.
That's right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, hey,
you're welcome. That guy should be hired.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Text.
Let's hope Brooks is listening.
Apparently he is.
Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Bob is on the road. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Bob.
That was a great segment with Ron Coomer. You know, you were talking about the relationship that you get in the summer with a voice. And I grew up with Ernie Harwell. I lived in Seattle for 6 years with Niehaus. And I'm a White Sox fan, but I listened to the Cubs just because of Pat and Ron. And I'll watch the White Sox, but I don't feel the same magic that I do with Pat and Ron. I could listen to them talk about any baseball team, probably anything, all day long. I don't know. I just love their relationship, and that's part of summer.
You're exactly right. They are part of the soundtrack of your summer, and everybody's got personal taste, depending on what team you're rooting for, what broadcast team you like. But it's so much fun, Molly. I mean, this our new app, our Odyssey app, it now is easier to sync up the radio with the TV, and I do that, and it's Pat and Ron are great.
Yeah, they're the best, and I love Ron Coomer. He is, when you listen to Ron watch a game, that's who he is when you meet him in person, right? He's the exact same guy. His personality, he's got this kind of South Side guy. I like, when I first met Ron, I felt like, oh my God, like I know this guy. I grew up with this guy. I know so many guys like that are just really good salt of the earth people, and he just happens to be the one that was a great hitter, but just a wonderful, wonderful person. And Pat is a Hall of Famer. He's going to definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
I could listen to Pat Hughes read the menu or a phone book or whatever it is, and it would feel better and more relaxed after he would read it because his voice has soothing powers.
I like it. It's the healing voice of your summer. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? 312-644-6767. You're getting beaten up pretty badly.
I'm getting killed.
Why is that?
I'm getting killed on the text line.
Wow, that's so mean.
I take a stand about numbers, and I'm getting killed for that.
I can't believe it.
Why do I hate sports so much?
That is hysterical. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Yoan in the air, left center field. This is gone! For the first time in 2 years, light it up!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm sorry.
I'm walking out of here bruised today. I'm just...
Yeah, people are coming after you. I've heard a lot of insults. This might be the one. This is the one, David. You ready?
Yeah.
Is David Haw related to Dan Bernstein?
I saw that.
Come on.
Not that I'm aware of.
That's...
Ancestry.com to be sure.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so. What is that in reference to? Just because I'm trying to take the fun out of something?
Probably because you're talking about numbers and you're being very specific things. And
I'm being honest.
You're sharing your vision of the world.
And we have another guy who says, David 815, David Haw eats pizza with a fork. Why do we have to go there? I don't eat pizza with a fork. I use my hands.
I eat stuffed pizza with a fork. It's very, especially when you first get it, you don't want to burn your hand.
Then somebody says that it's worse than my Larry Bird comment. What was my Larry Bird comment? Remind me. Did I say something disparaging about Larry Bird?
I think you have revealed that you were a Magic
guy.
So when I have brought up Bird because I loved both those players, and that was like an essential kind of breakthrough for college basketball and a popularity thing for the NBA. Whenever I have mentioned Bird, you immediately talk about you had a Magic Johnson poster. You've done that at least three times.
Oh yeah, because Magic Johnson number 32. I like the number 32. It was my brother's number in college as well. He was a defensive end.
Whoa. Okay, now, oh blessed rage for order. Did you just say your brother was a defensive end wearing number 32?
Yep.
What the hell are you talking about?
It threw off my equilibrium at the time. It kind of was a good kind of rite of passage. I was a teenager, like, okay, defensive ends can have numbers in the 30s too. So I opened my mind. I became, another guy says, Haw was probably a single-digit guy in college as well. Bingo. I was number four, and I loved being number four because I just thought it was a cool number to be for a defensive back. How do you explain your fandom? How do you explain why you love a certain number over another? I don't know. I just don't like numbers in the 70s.
But I mean, I do think, like, if I was an engineer and I wanted to be precise about how a number should be linked, I would say I would look at football and I would think, like, okay, what number is he? Oh, he's in the 70s. He's a tackle. He's in the 60s. He's a guard or a center. He's in the 50s. He's a linebacker. If you're in the 30s, you're a running back.
Very traditional, structured way to look at
it.
It helped you understand the game more. But I think that we're past that. And the NFL, by the way, is going to start letting people change their numbers, have a little more latitude there. So
remember when it was such a big deal? One of my favorite, this probably won't shock me to listen to the show for a while, but one of my favorite college football players of all time, Brian Bosworth. Loved Brian Bosworth.
44.
I got to play middle linebacker, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, but that was a big deal. He wanted to wear 44.
Yes.
And the NFL said, absolutely not. And that's how he became a double nickel. They would not let him wear 44. That was an absolute no-no. It was like a finable thing. And then it finally started changing. But that's very recent. What is Sam Acho's 48? Is that right? Sam Acho wears 48 for a linebacker. That was kind of something different and new.
I think outside linebackers can wear numbers in the 40s. I believe so.
Well, but that's newer. What I'm saying is, why couldn't Bosworth play number 44?
Dumb structure, NFL,
right? It was just
regimen.
Right? They would have sold a ton. They would have sold a ton of 44s.
And I want to submit this while we're talking Bos. Mentally, psychologically, you're not the same player in 55 as you are in 44 because you have talked yourself out of being that guy. There's something that comes with wearing a certain number and a jersey.
What number were you on the pitch? What number did you wear?
Mr. Loves 32 because his brother was a defensive end is not allowed to pick apart the numbers.
Yes, I am.
I was 19. Okay.
Does that have a significance in the sport?
Let me tell you something. I was telling this to David earlier. In soccer, every number symbolizes a position you play on the field. So, like, number 9 is the forward. Number 10 is usually the most creative player. I was 19. I was a defender. I have no idea how I got on 19. I think I was just assigned 19 when I was a kid, and I liked it, right? So I wore 19, and I still use the number 19. It's been a lucky number for me. And I remember when I was 19 and I had an unbelievable year, and I think it's all connected because I felt great about life and myself.
Yes.
And I was 19.
It's psychological. Michael Jordan was not the same guy in 45 as he was in 23. Brian Bosworth was not the same linebacker in 55 as he was in 44. It just makes a difference. Now,
but Bosworth, given all that we know about him, he would have succeeded with his tiny little feet and his small body carrying too much weight for whatever reason had he not been wearing 55. Is that I just heard?
So I think Zorich's problem was he couldn't wear 50. And he couldn't wear the hem shirt.
You guys are.
Because his belly couldn't hang out.
You've lost
your minds. Went to 97.
There was nothing 97 about Chris Zorich.
No.
Nothing at all. Nothing
at all. And he needed the hem shirt. I think the hem shirt is even more of an issue than the number for him.
Well, now we're talking about jersey, the way you wear your jersey. That's an entirely different conversation.
I mean, this is, there's an absurdity to this. We got to squeeze in this
call. Okay, let's get this call.
I'm very excited about this.
Back to sanity.
Tim is in Munster, and he was at the Sox game. Come on, Tim. How was that?
Hi, Tim.
Well, guys, I want to say you guys don't miss radio. I have to listen to you most of the time through the app, but I listen to the whole show.
Thank you.
You asked about it earlier. Your producer just played the clip without me saying anything about it, but I thought it was maybe the most important part of the game. But I'll talk about the game coming to the game first. This is my 19th straight opening day.
Wow.
And next to the banner raising, which, of course, it dripped all that night, too. You had to wait for that to happen. But it was very special to be back in the ballpark. It's a privilege that sometimes it almost makes me tear up because it's a privilege you just don't realize how much we've lost over this last, you know, year and a half. And just to be able to go back into the ballpark and watch a game was just a real special moment, special time. But I think the biggest part of that game was Mankata's home run. It was electric when they went back to back. But when Mankata was ahead in the count, what I don't know that a lot of people realize, and Stoney, I think, is brilliant, talks about a lot of things. Yeah. But one thing about Mankata is even though he's struggled, he seems to be getting the strike zone back, and so is Roberts. They're not chasing too many bad pitches. And Mankata was ahead, and I said, this is the pitch. And, man, he drilled that thing. And if the White Sox are going to go far, they're going to really need him without Jimenez. I mean, I hope that Mercedes just keeps this up. It would just be the story of the century, but who knows? But
right.
Mankata is a guy you really need to count on. And if he can be anywhere near the player he was in 19, this team really has a shot. But one last point you guys made about Lynn. I did not think Lynn should have came out for the ninth. Both, you know, Stoney said we don't know what's going to be like for these pitchers who only pitched in a 60-game season. Kenny Williams said they would maybe stronger.
Right.
The jury's out. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But they had a 6-run lead. You got a bullpen. At least you can throw 3 or 4 guys in there. You got tomorrow off. I think I can get through 3 outs with a bullpen. At 90-some pitches, he's just not going out there, even if he wants the ball. So,
Tim, thanks a ton. Appreciate
call.
The call. Yeah, it was excellent.
Fair question. Yeah. With Lance Lynn, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, though. He's a guy that has pitched that deep before. He's got the streak of 100 or more pitches. I'm not worried about his durability.
All right, we've got to get to Dan and Layla, and I believe we have a great surprise. Mark Grody is in for Dan, so you know how much we love Mark. And Grody time is next, but I want to just let you know, David, the one defending you is Dustin. Let that sink in. That's from a texter.
It's a good text.
Molly at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.